Okay, take your Bibles and look at Acts chapter 1, please. Today we're going to look at a vision from the book of Acts. And it's going to be a brief overview of the book of Acts. And here we are. We saw how God's word is moving in other countries. And, you know, like I said, word over the world starts in our own backyard. And it just so happens here in the tri-state area, there's people here from all over the world, and people come here and they get the word spoken to them and they go back home and, you know, take God's word to their country. So today we're going to get into a vision, and we're going to look at this vision of the book of Acts, or from the book of Acts, so we can see what they did and then see what we can do because we have the same God, you know. So that's great. It was a different time back there, right? Did the Apostle Paul prefer Apple products over Microsoft? Can any of you find a verse on that? No. Did the apostles back then like raisin bagels instead of plain? No. Did they eat bagels back then? No, they didn't, because bagels actually came from Poland in the 1600s. So I doubt if they ate bagels back then. And you know, I doubt if they ate or they used Apple products. There's no verses about that. So times were different. Times were very different. But to see what they did, what God did in the people's lives is just amazing. When we think of the book of Acts, maybe we don't consider how long it was. Just approximately, it was 32 years from the day of Pentecost all the way till about the end, only 32 or 33 years in the book of Acts. That is amazing. And we're going to see what people did in the book of Acts. And you know, they had no modern technology, no modern communication, but what they had was communication and power with God. They had great communication with God. God worked in their life, and some things happened back then that God wrote in His Word, so we could have that as an example. We're going to see what God did for the believers back then, and then that will build a vision for what we can do now. Maybe we eat bagels, or maybe we have drones or whatever. And they didn't have that. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have TVs or whatever the stuff we have. Yet, what happened there in the book of Acts was just phenomenal. It was, they spoke God's word and they manifested God's power. It was word and works. Word and works. So take your Bibles, everybody, and let's take a look at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. We're going to take a little tour through the book of Acts, and with an overview, you know, an overview is an overview. There's a lot that we sure don't have the time to cover. A person could teach weeks on the book of Acts, and that wouldn't be a stretch at all. This is just a little bocadito for you Spanish people. All right, look at Acts chapter 1, and in verse 8, it says, "But ye shall receive what?
Power.
Power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you're going to be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and unto what?
The
uttermost part of the earth." That could be Glen Rock, New Jersey. That could be Jersey City. That could be Ottawa, Canada. Who knows? But you know, the uttermost part of the earth. So here it says, Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The book of Acts is a transitional book. There was a lot of changes. People went from a Judean background, and then they had to learn and believe about this new administration, which was the grace of God. They learned about Christianity, and a lot of them had been raised under the law. The book of Acts is a transition, and it shows God's word moving from Jerusalem and moving into many different countries, which we're going to see. And it's just a tremendous thing. So in today's teaching, we're going to look at some spiritual growth they had. We're going to look at numerical growth. We're going to look at geographic growth, cultural growth, and growth of influence in an area. You know, it all started with one man, Jesus Christ. And in the book of Acts, how it started, there was one man, and he was Jesus Christ. And he did something that nobody ever had done before and hasn't done to this day, and that he got up from the dead. The thing that separates Christianity from everything else is that one man, Jesus Christ, got up from the dead. And in the first century church, what they preached was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died and he got up. And in the beginning of the book of Acts, he was ascended into heaven. And so Christianity and, you know, the book of Acts begins with the resurrected Christ, and then he ascends into heaven. And then he had 12 apostles. And with these 12 apostles, they weren't perfect, were they? If you know the Bible, you know. And right from the beginning, there was a major problem with one of them, and his name was Judas. And so they had to pick another guy. But right from the beginning, there was problems with people. And if you've noticed, we're all people, right? And we're all Christian, and God is great. He's perfect in whatever. But sometimes we ain't perfect, right? Sometimes there's problems with people. But, you know, we got to get past all the people problems and believe God no matter what. So in the beginning there were some people problems, and there was a guy. But, you know, they all started off, and they were Judeans by religion. I know that Judas was a Galilean, but by religion, they were Judeans, and it all comes around there. It all started from Jerusalem. Let's take a look at verse 4. It says, "And being assembled together with them," famous last words. Have you ever thought about that? What's the last words that somebody would speak on earth? You know, when you look at those prophets in the Old Testament, Moses and some of these other people, what were the last words that they spoke? These are the last words of Jesus Christ on earth. And he's talking there to his, you know, apostles. "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, you've heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you guys are going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence." One of the last words here that Jesus Christ spoke was they were going to manifest power. Most of you guys here speak in tongues, and that's great. And you know, if you don't speak in tongues, you ought to find out about it. One of the last things that Jesus Christ spoke on earth was that they were going to manifest power. They were going to witness. They were going to operate power. They were going to speak in tongues. And because they operated power, they were going to be witnesses. We can be a witness when we speak God's word. We can be a witness when we operate power. Verse 8, in the context now, "But you're going to receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you're going to be witnesses." They were going to operate power. They were going to speak God's word. But in the context here, they were going to operate power. They were going to speak in tongues. "Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Okay, so we're going to take a little tour through the book of Acts. But I think some of you guys have a map here. Do you have a map? Who doesn't have a map? Everybody have a map? Let's take a look at this map. Now, I know some of you aren't map friends, okay? Do you have fear of maps? No? Some of you might. So you're here at this meeting to get delivered from your fear of maps. Repeat after me. Maps are my friend. See that? That's, people follow you. That's cool. All right, now look at this. This is a cool map. In the bottom right-hand side, you're going to see Judea. You're going to see Samaria and Galilee and Phoenicia. Everybody see that?
Yep.
All right, now, Jerusalem is right there by Judea. All right, so that's where we are, Acts 1:8. Joppa, remember Joppa? You see that there? So Judea and Jerusalem, and then we're going to go north. You see Joppa, and then you see Samaria. Samaria is a little farther north. Caesarea, Cornelius of the, what kind of man? All right, Caesarea right there, and then Galilee, Phoenicia's Lebanon. All right, then you go a little bit farther north, Damascus. See, we're going up there. And then we keep going. You see where it says Syria? There's Antioch right there. Antioch of Syria. And right over there, if you go to the left or west, that's Cyprus. So we're going to see a lot of these places. So God's word moves from Jerusalem and it goes up north, hits Cyprus. And then where it says Asia in the middle there, that's the country of Turkey today. That's all Turkey. And then you continue to go left. And then you'll see a lighter, you'll see in the white there, that's Greece. You see Greece and all that. You see Corinth and all those places. So keep this map, and we're going to see where we're going to go. So Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we saw Jerusalem. And Judea is the like the province where Jerusalem is. Samaria is a little farther north. And unto the uttermost part of the earth. All of this is going to happen in 32 years. In Acts chapter 2 and in verse 4, I would say just about everybody in here speaks in tongues. This was on the day of Pentecost, and so Jesus Christ said they were going to manifest power. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as they made it up in their mind.
No.
As the Spirit, as God, gave them the utterance. They had Holy Spirit. God gave them that, and they manifested power. Right in the beginning of Christianity, they spoke in tongues. If you don't speak in tongues yet, you ought to. Jesus Christ said, you were going to be witnesses. And the witness was the manifestation. And they were going to speak God's word. On the day of Pentecost, they spoke God's word. And that was Acts chapter 2. You see also following this is Peter's first sermon or first teaching. And then let's take a look at verse 41. This is still on the day of Pentecost. Still on the first day of Christianity. Acts chapter 2 and in verse 41 it says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And they the same day there were added about what?
3,000
souls in one day. That's pretty good. They couldn't meet at the Homewood Suites anymore, that's for sure. 3,000 people in one day. God's word started off and it was really, really moving. In Acts chapter 3, there was the lame man and he got healed. And Peter taught. In Acts chapter 2, people spoke in tongues and Peter taught. It was word and it was works. In Acts chapter 3, the lame man was healed. And this lame guy, he was at the temple gate. And everybody who passed by him every day would have seen him. He was a famous guy in town. And one day, he was healed. And that went all through the town and whatever. And it was a big deal. And then after that, Peter spoke a little bit here in Acts chapter 3. Very cool. Hey, it's football season, isn't it? I just want to ask you a question. Is there any Jet fans in here? Come on, be honest. Okay, stand up, please. Stand up. Stand up, come on. Stand up. Stand up. Okay, wait. Okay, just let me talk. Okay. I would like you to applaud these people because they have suffered in their life for many years. Give them a hand. Okay, have a seat. Now I know the Jets didn't lose this week, but say for the next 10 weeks, they like knock off 10 wins in a row. That'd be great, right? Would people all over the place be talking about it? It'd be all over the news because something like, you know, in any sport, when some team's not doing so good and all of a sudden something happens, people talk about it, don't they? If the Jets won 10 games in a row, it'd be all over the news, wouldn't it? What we're talking about here is there was a dude, and every day he was late at the temple gate, and thousands of people would have passed by him throughout all these years. I don't know if it was 1,000 people a day, but everybody knew, and something miraculous happened. This guy who was lame from his mother's womb, he started walking around, and everybody knew him, and then they saw him walking. Do you think people talked about that on the 6 o'clock news? That's a figure of speech, but you know what I mean. People knew about it, and that was good news, and good news can travel fast. Acts chapter 4. It was word and works. Word and works. Acts chapter 4 and in verse 13. Only 3 Jet fans. Maybe some of you weren't honest and didn't stay. Acts chapter 4 and in verse 13. You know, Peter and John got called on the carpet because they were speaking the word. And these Judean leaders wanted to stop the spread of Christianity. This is not too far after the day of Pentecost. Verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with who?
Jesus.
And these dudes wanted to stop the spread of Christianity. Verse 14. And beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say what?
Nothing.
Nothing to say. There's the guy he was. He couldn't walk, and now he's standing there, and you can't say anything. But you know what? These guys wanted to stop the spread of Christianity. Let's take a look at their plan. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot what?
Deny.
How are they going to deny it? The dude was standing right there. But that it spread no further among the people. Here's the plan. That it spread no further among the people. Let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in his name. We can't deny that this guy's healed, but you know, I'm going to make you scared so you shut up. Because we don't want anybody talking. You saw in the last hour all these people speaking the word in all these different countries. Why is the word moving? Obviously, God is doing a whole lot, but people are opening their mouth. If you want to help people, we should pray for them. But if we want God's word to move here, we got to open our mouth and tell people. And you know, maybe you don't know a whole lot of Bible, maybe as much as somebody else, but you have every right to tell people what God has done for you, what you've seen, what you've observed in the whole thing. So if we want to move God's word, we need to speak it. And they called them and commanded them not to speak or teach anymore in the name of Jesus. Verse 19. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than God, judge what?
Yes.
In other words, if we're going to speak God's word, we do it because God wants it. We do it because, like Mariana was talking about, it's God's will and we do it. We do it because we want to help people. We do it not because we're trying to obey people. Verse 20, look at this. They're saying this to the big cheeses there in Jerusalem. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and what?
Heard.
Have you ever been to a great movie and you get all happy and the next day you're telling your friends at work about it because it's so good? We cannot help but speak the things which we've seen and which we've heard. Pretty cool. So that's what was happening in Jerusalem. Look at Acts 5, please. Acts 5. Acts 5, and in verse 12, it says, "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch." How many of you in this room know that God has healed you before? Raise your hand. That's very cool, isn't it? That's awesome. And that can happen a lot more in the future. It's the power. We have the same Holy Spirit. "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And the rest durst not join any man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And the believers were more added to the Lord." That's multitudes, both men and women. That's in addition to the 3,000 before. "Insomuch that they brought forth sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that they may at least the shadow of Peter passing might overshadow the sum of them." That's believing, isn't it? Mm-hmm. They just wanted to be around those people and have Peter's shadow on them because they just believed that. 16, "There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem." So now it's beginning to spread out of Jerusalem. "Bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean" what?
Spirits.
"And they were healed every one." Were there devil spirits in the Bible?
Yes.
Are there devil spirits now?
Yes.
Or they all go to the moon? If there's devil spirits in the Bible, there's devil spirits around now. And you know, we need to put on our glasses so we can see and not be spiritually blind. So people got healed. There was word spoken and there was works. There were miracles. God is a God of miracles, and we still have that spirit. And now the word is beginning to move away from Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 6, please. Acts 6. In Acts chapter 6, there were some problems between the Judean people, the ones that spoke Greek, and the ones that spoke Hebrew. And you can look at that if you want. And in verse 7, it says, "And the word of God increased." You know, people got, you know, they were growing in the word. "And the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of believing and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people." If you read this record here, there are other leaders that are growing, other people that are stepping up, other people that want to do more. If God's word is going to grow, it's not just about the people that we have now, but people who want to step up and do some more. Look at Acts chapter 8, please. In Acts 8. Acts chapter 8 and in verse 1. Acts 8, 1. "And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at the time there was a great" what? "Against the church," which was where? "And they that were scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea" and where?
Samaria.
It's growing now. It's outside of Judea, except the apostles. "And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, hailing men and women, and committed them to prison." Verse 4, "Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere doing" what?
"Preaching the word."
In Jerusalem, there was a great persecution. Who died, by the way?
Stephen.
There was a guy named Stephen, and he died. And the leadership, the Judean leadership, they wanted to just squish out Christianity in Jerusalem. So then what happened? The people left. The people left, and they went to other places. They went to Samaria. They went to other places, and they spoke God's word, the same thing that got them in trouble in Jerusalem anyway. Did they have to move their families?
Yep.
They have to change their house,
mm-hmm.
change job, change their yard, probably. Change a lot of different stuff, but they moved because they wanted to move God's word. Acts chapter 8, and let's take a look what happened. Then Philip went down to the city of Jerusalem. No, the city of what?
Samaria.
Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Now the word is moving outside of Jerusalem. And people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Word and works. Word and works. It was the spoken word, and it was the power of God in operation. Devil spirits were cast out. Miracles were done. Look at this. Verse 7. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies that were lame were healed. Verse 8. And there was great joy in the city. There was word and there was works. You know what our fellowships, when you go to the fellowship, if you're sick, why don't you ask the person, the leader, to pray for you? If you don't feel well, sometimes the best thing to do is to go to a meeting and to be able to go and get healed and get ministered to and see God's power in operation. This is no joke. This is the word of God. God is delivering. Has God changed today? Did he lose power over time, like a battery just kind of fade out?
No.
There's power. There's power. And we're born again, and we can operate nine manifestations. A great key to the outreach of God's word is to speak it and to operate power. You can walk with God. You can get revelation. You can minister healing. All that's in the Bible, isn't it? Jesus Christ said that, right? He sure did. That he did. Hey, we're not going to read this, but in Acts chapter 8, Philip got revelation to talk to a guy who was on the road to Ethiopia. He was going to go home. What continent is Ethiopia in?
Africa.
Yeah. He was going back to Africa, and God sent Philip over there, and Philip went by revelation, and Philip ministered to this, led him into the new birth, and Philip went over to his chariot, and he said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And then he was reading, and then Philip helped him to understand what he was reading. You know, with a knowledge of God's word, you can help people understand what they're reading. We can help people to understand and teach them God's word. Very cool stuff. In Acts chapter 9, we know Paul was the ringleader, or one of the ringleaders, and he got converted. Acts chapter 9 and in verse 10. In Acts chapter 9 and in verse 10. It says, and there was a certain disciple at where?
Damascus.
Where is Damascus?
Syria.
God's word is moving to the north. Let's take a look at the map for a minute. Back there at Jerusalem. Back there at Jerusalem. Now we've seen that it's in Samaria. Then we look up and the Apostle Paul is over there in Damascus. It's going farther north. So one of the ringleaders of the persecution gets converted. And down the road he becomes the top leader. Let's take a look at Acts 10. Acts chapter 10. and in verse 44. In Acts chapter 10, 44, the Gentiles get converted. In Acts 10, 44, it says, "While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many came with Peter, because on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of what?"
The Holy Spirit.
How did those Jews, how did those Judeans know that those dogs were just like them? You know, in Bible times, the Gentiles were called dogs. I don't want to be like a dog. Do you want to be like a dog? I don't. When we had a dog, I didn't let the dog sleep in the same bed with me. Do you guys do that stuff?
Yes.
We don't want to go there. Hey, a dog is a dog. Now that just happens to be my opinion, but you know, a dog is a dog. And in the Bible, there were the Gentiles. And the Gentiles were called dogs. They were second-class citizens. They were nobody. They were below the Judeans. And the last thing me as a Judean wants to know is, that dog is my brother. Because that dog ain't my brother. That dog is a dog. But how did those Judeans know that the dog was their brother? They heard those people speak in tongues. There was word. Peter spoke. And there was works. They spoke in tongues. They were witnesses. They were witnesses. And that witnessing is continuing now. And it's witnessing also in Caesarea, because that's where that happened. So it doesn't say like multitudes of people got born again, but it does say that the Gentiles got born again. Let's take a look at Acts 11. Acts 11. And in verse 19, it says, Acts 11, 19, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix," that's Lebanon, "and Cyprus," we saw where Cyprus is, "and Antioch," we saw where Antioch was too, "Antioch in Syria, preaching the word unto none but the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus." Take your map here, if you will, and look at Jerusalem on the bottom. And when you find Jerusalem on the bottom, we're going to go right up. Samaria, Galilee, Phoenicia, Antioch. Antioch, right there, that's Antioch of Syria. That was the third largest city in the Roman Empire. So these guys, they were just out speaking the word. They were having a good time. They left because of the persecution, and they went to this place. And then in verse 20, "And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus." This was the Gentiles. They spoke unto the Gentiles. In verse 21, "And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord." In Acts chapter 10, Cornelius, those dudes got born again, but it doesn't say how many of them. Here, a great number of Gentiles turned on to the word. A great number. Let's take a look at Acts chapter 13. So we see God's word moving. We see it growing. In Acts 13, verse 1. "Now there were in the church that was in" where?
Antioch
of Syria, which we heard about. "There were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul." There was a whole bunch of leaders, a whole bunch of leaders in this thing. And if we look at the book of Acts, in the beginning of the book of Acts, the headquarters for the outreach of God's word was Jerusalem. Something happened though. Jerusalem cooled off. Jerusalem hung on to the law. Jerusalem didn't believe like they should have. And you know, the same stuff happens today, doesn't it? So what happened? Then Antioch becomes the headquarters of the Apostle Paul. And that was the place, if you read the rest of the book of Acts, where Paul's itinerary started from and ended for the most part, and God's word spread from Antioch. Think about that. Now, we just read in Acts chapter 11, there were these dudes from a few of these countries, and they went to Antioch, and they were just speaking the word. It doesn't say that the word was in Antioch before, does it? And so they were there witnessing. But what happened? You know what happened in Antioch? They went there and they spoke the word. Little did they know when they were speaking the word a couple chapters later, that location would be the headquarters of the Apostle Paul. Little do we know sometime we could be witnessing to the next Apostle Paul. We could be witnessing to the next country leader of Ecuador or whatever. Look, you saw what's happening. The word of God is going to a lot of different countries. Maybe we'll witness to the next woman at the well. Who knows? Little did these guys know, they were just out there planting some seeds. But you know, some of them grew and a lot of people believed there, and that place became the practical headquarters for the outreach of God's word to the Gentiles in the book of Acts. Think about that. Our life is really big, and you never know who we're going to speak God's word to. So you know what happened? Verse 2, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I call them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And being sent forth by who? By who? What does that mean?
The Holy Spirit.
They had revelation. God sent Paul and Barnabas on a trip by revelation. And on this map here, where they go, they leave from Antioch over here, and they go to Cyprus, and they go in this map where it says Asia. God's word is moving in a tremendous way. They're walking by revelation. God is telling them where to go, and they're doing a tremendous job. And there's power, there's word, there's so many different things. Let's take a look at Acts 15. So the Gentiles are getting turned on. They're getting excited. The word of God is moving in these different countries, in these different languages. And it's by people who were not Judean in background. So let's take a look in Acts 15. Were there problems in the book of Acts?
Yes.
Were there doctrinal problems sometimes?
Yes.
So in verse 15, chapter 15, verse 1, and certain men which came down from Judea, Where is Jerusalem, by the way? Jerusalem is in Judea, isn't it? Oh, remember I told you they were hanging on to the law there in Jerusalem. Chapter 15, verse 1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be what?
Saved.
Okay, those people at Antioch, a lot of them were Gentiles. So they go to fellowship, they get born again, whatever, under the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Boy, I like this Christian stuff. This is cool. I'm speaking in tongues and the whole thing. And then these dudes from Jerusalem come down and they say, if you really want to be a Christian, you got to be circumcised. So they said to these fellas, okay, boys, line up and we're going to initiate you. And they said, I don't want to do this, though. No. Now, does Romans 10:9 talk about circumcision?
No.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you are absolutely going to be what?
Saved.
So what right does anybody have to come along and say, you got to do something else to be saved? You got to say the sinner's prayer. You have to be water baptized. You have to be a good boy or girl. You have to, pay some money so Uncle Al can get out of purgatory. Should I pay money so Uncle Al can get out of purgatory?
No.
Number one, there's no purgatory to begin with. And number two, Jesus Christ paid the price. So why are you charging me for something that Jesus Christ paid for? I don't like to be double charged, do you? So, you got to be water baptized, you got to be good, you got to keep the Ten Commandments. You have to do all these things, you have to say the sinner's prayer. All of that is people adding crap to God's word. This is what the word said. They had the same problem that back then. So, we got to know God's word. So when somebody comes along and says, you got to do this or you got to do that, come on, man, show me a verse in the Bible. We can help people because there's so many people trying to be good enough to get into heaven, and they'll never make it by being good enough. In fact, that's why so many Christians walk around with guilt. We can speak the truth. We can help people. We can walk with God. Maybe when you're witnessing to somebody, could God tell you, Danny, could God tell you something about that person? Could God help you so you could say the right thing to that person?
Yep.
You know, when Jesus Christ in John 4, he was talking to that lady and he said, hey, you've had five husbands and the guy you're with now is not your husband. That woman must have been shocked. How did he know that? We're born again of God's Spirit. So maybe when you're witnessing to somebody, reach up into daddy's cooking jar and say, hey, Father, is there anything I can say right now to help this person? Have you ever done that? Mm-hmm. I hope so. And God wants to help you, right? We had a meeting a long time ago, and I just happened to ask this guy who I just met. I said, you cut yourself with a razor blade on your penis, don't you? Now, that's not how to win friends and influence people. But I was right. He wound up going to fellowship and getting in the Word. So this isn't a game. I mean, it's fun. It's really fun. And I didn't just make that up to get your attention. Hey, how about Acts 16, verse 5? Acts 16, 5. And so were the churches, what?
Established.
Established. They grew. They weren't neophytes. Those churches, what did the churches look back then? Churches. You know what those churches were? They were fellowships in the home. They were fellowships in the home because that's where the believers met. The churches were established in the home, in the faith. They grew. And they increased in number once a year.
No.
How often?
Daily.
And there's also another verse in here, Acts 9:31. It says the churches, or the fellowships as we call them, were multiplied. Verse 6. And when they had gone throughout Phrygia, it was cold up there. When they'd gone through Phrygia and the regions of Galatia, that's in Turkey, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in what? And they were come to Mysia, and they essayed to go. They wanted to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit, God what? Suffered them not. They wanted to go somewhere, and God told them not to go. Verse 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of where?
Macedonia.
What country, what continent is Macedonia in?
Europe.
And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over unto Macedonia and help us. God showed him by revelation to go to Europe and not to these other places. So they walked with God. They healed people. They delivered people. They had revelation to do all these things. It was exciting. Just a few more verses and we'll wrap it up. Acts 17. It's freezing up here. Acts 17. It's Phrygia up here. I could freeze to death during the teaching. Acts 17, in verse 1. Hey, Thessalonica, where is that? That's in Greece. Paul is in Greece. He's having some tzatziki. Look, in verse 17 it says, now when they were passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of what? The house of Jason was there also, in case you're wondering. He was in Thessalonica. Now, let's just think about this for a minute. He was in Thessalonica. The first epistle ever written was to what group of people?
Thessalonians.
So the first epistle ever written was to the Thessalonians, and it was written after he was there. So that means all of these church epistles were written after Acts 17. All of the church epistles were written after Acts 17. So what does that mean? We have the Bible so much available to us, we want to read all those epistles. Those dudes up to that point, the only way they knew, they heard teachings. Paul didn't say, open your Bible to Romans, because Romans didn't exist. They had less than what we have. But look what they did. They had less than what we had. So now, Paul has gone up. He's been to Syria. He's been to Turkey. He's over there now in Europe, and fellowships are growing and the whole thing, and that's exciting. And what was taught in these epistles was revealed to these men, and they taught it live. Like if you want to look up in Acts 13, you could see truths from the book of Romans in Acts chapter 13. So leaders taught the truths in the epistles, but the people didn't have the epistles to look at. The epistles were sent later. Yet they moved God's word, and they learned about the mystery. They learned about the administration that we lived in as time went on. We got in the word, and we've been taught so much Bible over the years, and we know so much. And some of these people, you know, didn't have the church epistles to go and look at. They weren't even around. Acts chapter 19. Acts 19. So now Paul is at Ephesus. Any Turkish people in here? No. Any Turkish people who are Jet fans? Ephesus now is a Turkish city, or behind this city called Kushadasi. And in Acts chapter 19 and in verse 8. Acts chapter 19 and in verse 8. And he went into the synagogue, Paul, and he spake, what?
Boldly.
Boldly. for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years. So 2 years and 3 months, when you add it up, this continued by the space of 2 years and 3 months from the other verse, so that all they which dwelt in Asia, it's Asia Minor, all of them that dwelt in Asia Minor heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. All the people all around in Asia Minor, they heard God's word. And that's without cell phones, that's without TV preachers, that's without it, that's by people just speaking. And God's word moved in a great way. If we want the word of God, if we want to help people, if we want to do all these things, we got to open our mouth. But people were excited about it, and it moved all over Asia Minor for 2 years, from 2 years and 3 months. You see what this is? So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. In this whole area here, God's word prevailed in the culture. It dominated in the culture. It was what was about at that time. People sold their garbage, they did different, burned it up and whatever. God's word prevailed. In 2 years and 3 months, God's word moved over Asia Minor without any cell phones or without anything else. So people grew spiritually. People grew spiritually. Leaders grew, fellowships were established, new leaders rose up, and people knew about the mystery. There was numerical growth. On the first day, there was 3,000. Fellowships multiplied and were added daily. There was geographical growth from Jerusalem, the cities round about, Samaria, Galilee, Damascus, Turkey, Greece, and there was actually believers in Rome. There was cultural growth. The dogs became brothers. People lived the mystery, and the unifying wisdom of the mystery brought people together. Boy, how much our country needs unity. And when we come and we get a knowledge of God's word, it unifies us. There was no modern communication, but there was great communication with God. Yes, times are changed. We have cell phones, we eat bagels, and we have computers, but a lot has remained the same. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 4. A lot has changed, but a lot remains the same. Ephesians 4 and in verse 4 it says, there is one what?
Body.
Still one body and one spirit. We have the same Holy Spirit that the Apostle Paul had. We had the same Holy Spirit as those people had in the first century. There's one body and one spirit, and one, as you're called, in one hope. It's the same hope for us. It's the same Lord Jesus Christ for us as they had then. It's the same believing that we had then, the same stuff to believe. One baptism. It's the same God and Father of all, who's above all and through us and in you all. It's the same God, the same Lord, the same Spirit. We have the Word of God. A lot of things have changed, but you know, these really, really important things remain the same. How big do you dare to believe? How big do you dare to see yourself manifest the Christ in you? How big do you see yourself to be able to grow in righteousness and all these different things? You have God in Christ in you. That is so big. God in Christ in you. How big do we all want to believe? In 1 Timothy chapter 2, to close, please. Where we started was in Jerusalem, and they said, Jesus said that they were going to be witnesses unto the uttermost part of the earth. And we've seen in the book of Acts that it really grew, and they walked with God. They spoke God's word, and they manifested power. We still have the same word of God. In fact, we have more word of God than a lot of them had because they didn't have the epistles. Acts 1 Timothy chapter 2. We have the same word of God. A lot of things have changed, but God and his word have remained the same. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 4, it says, who will have all men to be saved and come to what? Who will have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth? Word over the world just doesn't a nice, cute little slogan. Who will have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth? It's still God's word today that people hear God's word. It's still God's word that people get delivered. And you and I can speak the truth to them. You and I can love them, and you and I can help bring deliverance in their life. God is a powerful God, and he delivers people, and I'm so glad that we can be a part of it. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, thank you for your love and goodness. Thanks for the privilege that we have to know you and to know your word. Thanks for this great day. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Thank you.